welcome to Chasing the Insights, the podcast designed for you, the marketer, the entrepreneur, the small business owner. I'm your host, Vince Warnock, and in each episode, we talk to the biggest and brightest brains in marketing, extracting every ounce of insight to give you that unfair advantage as you grow your business. Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of Chasing the Insights. How you all doing? I'm Vince Warnock. Thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy day. Oh my goodness, to join me here as I get to talk to not only some of the most intelligent people in the industry, but some of the most fun as well. You'll know exactly what I mean very shortly, because I'm about to introduce you to Anne Dranis-Seris and Heather Hilliard. But before I do that, very quickly, I don't want you to miss a single episode of the show. So whatever platform, whatever app, whatever tool, basically however you're listening to this right now, if you haven't already, reach out and give that subscribe or follow button a push. That way you're notified every time there's a new episode. Anyway, my friends, oh wow, we are in for a treat today, not just because we're talking about Peter Pan syndrome, which I'm still cracking up at the concept of this, but also because I'm here to introduce you to two absolute legends and two of the nicest people in the industry. It's Anne Dranis-Seris and Heather Hilliard. Their unique expertise is in dismantling dysfunction in organizations and leadership behavior through a variety of approaches. They are a mother and daughter team, although they look like sisters, of Caliber Leadership Systems. It's a boutique consulting firm that works with leaders and organizations just like you to achieve your potential. And their approach incorporates the expertise in neurobiology of human development combined with organizational systems. Plus, they wear, oh my goodness, so many hats: consultants, executive coaches, trainers, speakers, authors, basically creating solutions to meet the needs of their clients. And these are also two of the nicest people you can meet. So Anne and Heather, thank you so much for joining us here. Seriously, it is such an honor having you both on the show.
And we're very excited to be here with you, Vince, and with your audience to be able to talk about all things Peter Pan and organizational dysfunction, our favorite topics.
I'm so excited about this. Honestly, so full disclosure for all you listening to this, like whenever we're talking about people being on the show, we bounce ideas back and forth about what we can talk about. And we were looking at, do we talk about imposter syndrome? Do we talk? And then Anne and Heather mentioned Peter Pan syndrome. I'm like, wait, what is this? I need to know more. This sounds awesome. And the more you hear about it, you guys are going to love this episode. But anyway, before we dive into that though, we need to hear you guys' backstory. So I'm going to start with you, Heather. Tell us your backstory, how you got to where you are and why you're so passionate about what you do.
Anne and I have a little bit of an interesting backstory because Anne is my biological mother, and she gave me up for adoption when I was born. And so I navigated the first 27 years of my life in an adoptive family with siblings and parents. And when I was 27, Anne and I reunited. And I was doing work at the time. I'd gone through business school. I was doing work in, I was working for a large global consulting firm. Yeah. And we were doing work in organizations with systems, particularly around performance and rewards and migrating into leadership. And when I met Anne, Anne's got this phenomenal background in really understanding the psychology behind human behavior and personality type. And she was working as an executive coach in Toronto. And we, a couple of years into our relationship of just getting to know each other, we decided to go into business together. So really interesting sort of journey of, you know, learning about each other in building this new relationship that was, you know, again, as someone who had grown up apart, coming together and finding we had this shared passion for helping people and organizations achieve their potential. And that's where our business Caliber Leadership Systems was born out of, that absolute commitment to finding solutions for people in organizations to be able to achieve the results that they're looking to achieve.
I love that. I can honestly say, you know, whenever people give us their backstory on the show, usually I'm like, oh, wow, there's two or three other people that have the same backstory. This is the most unique backstory I think I've ever heard. I love this. So Anne, give us your backstory now. Give us your take on that and how you got to where you are and why you're so passionate about what you do.
Well, I come from a family of entrepreneurs, immigrant parents, and I just couldn't work in an organization. I know you've referenced ADHD as one of the things that we find in entrepreneurs a lot, but it just didn't work for me to be working under someone else. And I wanted to help people and I wanted to find my own way of helping people. And a lot of it was through trial and error in my inability to stay with one thing for a particularly long period of time. But when I met Heather, Heather's systems approach and my, you know, understanding of people coming together and looking at both function and systems in organizations as well as in people, and not coming at it from a really clinical perspective or in a way that's too hard to understand. And so we would come up with these and coin these different ways of presenting things, like the Peter Pan syndrome, like organizational dysfunctions, and, you know, how to deal with syndromes in people and organizations, really trying hard to normalize it, not see it as, oh my God, these leaders are horrible people, but seeing them as people struggling to deal with some of their very own issues, yeah, born out of just being human.
I love that, honestly. And that is so important. As somebody who has dealt with ADHD their entire life, you know, it's actually like, people don't understand. They think ADHD means distraction. They think it means, you know, like squirrel syndrome, and you're constantly like all over the show, a bit flaky and everything. But what they don't understand is, first of all, there's massive amount of power that comes with ADHD. Like, we don't think outside the box. We live outside the box. Like, there is no box as far as we're concerned. But the other side of that is, there's a huge amount of shame and guilt involved in these syndromes and in dealing with these. And I didn't realize until relatively recently how much shame and guilt I felt around not being able to do adult things, you know, not being able to adult because the ADHD, my executive function isn't the same as you know, yeah, a neurotypical person. So therefore, I can't process things the same way other people do. And that frustrated me and it made me really embarrassed by that. So understanding that really does help. So I love the work that you guys are doing. I think it's fantastic. Oh, wow. All right. Well, we're going to dive into this topic then, because everyone's hanging out to hear about Peter Pan syndrome. And trust me, no one needs to put on any green leotards or tights or anything like that. We're all good.
Unless
here.
They want to.
I mean, unless they want to. Yeah, that's a different syndrome. All right. Well, we're going to talk about Peter Pan syndrome and its impact on entrepreneurial business. So I'm going to throw it open to you, Heather. Can you give us a definition? Because everyone's going to want to know what Peter Pan syndrome is.
Yeah, but it's in keeping with the, you know, the whole story and premise behind Peter Pan, which is this, you know, individual who just never wants to grow up and wants to live in Never Never Land. And when we take that premise into the organizational environment and look at the entrepreneurial brain, to your point, Vince, you know, a lot of folks with the entrepreneurial brain have, you know, what I like to refer to as big brain syndrome, which otherwise known as ADHD, which is that wanting things to be more about giving me pleasure and having fun, and I want it to be enjoyable. And because those of us with this entrepreneurial orientation, we don't like, it's the reason why we became entrepreneurs, to Anne's point, right? Is like, I don't want to work in someone else's structure. I don't want to follow someone else's rules. What do you mean those are the limitations? I don't see limitations. I don't want to live within your limitations. So if we take that into the entrepreneurial environment, we have these entrepreneurs who resist growing up and allowing their business to have what it needs to grow up. So if you think about in the business context, we get our businesses to a size where they need structure, they need hierarchy, they need systems, they need rules, they need all of those little things that we who are struggling with Peter Pan, we don't want to adult like that, to using your phrase. And so they stall out and their businesses stall out as a result, because they can't separate out what they need from what it is that all of those neurotypical people who work for them actually need in order to be successful and effective. And that's where, and then the entrepreneur starts to get aggravated because they keep getting pulled into the stuff that's not fun and it's mucky and it's conflict and dysfunction, and they want to go blow things up and, you know, take things in another direction. And because, again, they want to stay in that place where it just feels like it's fun and it's enjoyable, and that's what they're seeking. And unfortunately, that's where their business starts to get limited. Yeah. And as a result of that, right?
Yeah, I love that. Oh, man, this is so fascinating. Well, Anne, I'm going to throw it to you then. So we've kind of touched on it a little bit here, but What is the impact to us as entrepreneurs? Because a lot of people are thinking probably, well, that's okay. I can stay small, or I can stay, I can stay Peter Pan, essentially. Although I am wondering, by the way, at what stage do we start calling it the Michael Jackson syndrome? Anyway, so what is the effect of that, Anne, on us as entrepreneurs? Like, if we stay in that Peter Pan syndrome?
Well, one of the things that Heather and I developed was a presentation that we do to entrepreneurial organizations about the stages, the actual stages that a business goes through, and how the entrepreneur, in predictable ways, the entrepreneur is likely to behave, and how far they can actually get the business without changing. And at each crisis point of crisis of growth point that they come to in these stages, they have a choice to make, because entrepreneur, it's not like entrepreneurs really want to go back and reinvent the wheel, which is what ends up happening, because they hit that ceiling or that crisis point, and then people start leaving, and then they end up having to go back and, do things themselves. And because nobody wants to work in the kind of chaos that an entrepreneur who has this syndrome creates. And so the choice point, it's usually, Heather and I talk about it, between stage two and stage three, where the business needs something. The business is a separate entity from the entrepreneur, and it needs something more than the entrepreneur at their current stage of development can actually give and provide. And they have a choice whether to sell their business and leave, or bring in someone who can do the tough stuff and keep them on purpose. A lot of entrepreneurs like the eyes out and developing and expanding and growing, because that's play. It's change. They never want the, one day to be the same as the next day. And having someone who can come in and lead in the organization, that can get the organization to the next level, even though the entrepreneur might want to keep behaving the same way.
Oh, I can guarantee they want to behave the same
Yes.
way. I was gonna say, I've seen this so many times with businesses, but then I'm looking at going, I've been there so many times. So my question then to I'll throw it up into you, Heather, but you kind of mentioned there that there is a point that you need to transition. There is between that stage two and stage three. How do we know when we're at that point? Like, how does an entrepreneur indicate that, hey, okay, this is the point I need to adult, I need to stop being Peter Pan, I need to do something about this.
So usually the complaints we start to hear from the entrepreneur are, that their managers aren't at the level where they need to be, if they have actually even put managers. Like, they really feel the pain of that gap between themselves and the people that are reporting up into them. They feel like they're constantly having to swoop back in to course correct, and that their time is being spent more internally focused versus externally focused. As Anne said, we see a little bit of that exit problem. Like, one of the things that with the Peter Pan is they can often pick one person, and the problem's them. And if I get rid of them, then I'll just get myself a new Tinkerbell and it'll all be better. And then the new Tinkerbell comes in and we repeat the process. It's somebody else now that's the weakest link. And so they get caught in these certain patterns of behavior. The other thing we noticed is that they will actually start doing things that are somewhat self-sabotaging in their behavior. And this is because they're trying to recreate that pleasure. And so they may go seek it in ways that aren't always productive or healthy. And so one of the things we see, for example, are these leaders overly drinking and playing with the people that work for them. So they're trying to bring people along by saying, hey, I'm this, great guy, this great gal. It's like we have lots of fun together, and that somehow that will help the employees to close the gap, because they're building this kind of false affiliation with them. So these are some of the things that we see in there. And the but fundamentally, it comes down to the fact that the entrepreneur is frustrated, right? And the second you're thinking about, as Anne said, you're thinking about leaving, or you're thinking about having to blow everything up, it's like that just an indication that you're at that stuck point of Peter Pan, and the work has to be a little bit more internally focused, and really starting to think about what's my role in this, right? That it's not just about everybody else that's doing this to me. It's what's my role in this, and how do I want to see my way through it?
I love that. Yeah, I think for me, I've seen Like the indicator for me is when I start getting sidetracked by other projects, as in like, you know, I know I should be working on something, but all of a sudden that new book I'm writing, suddenly that's my focus and I don't want to take my focus off it at all. It's because it's that shiny new object, that thing that keeps me feeling like Peter Pan, essentially. So, wow. Okay. Well, you've kind of mentioned a little bit about how we address this. So we've identified it. We started to see that that frustration is kicking in as entrepreneurs. We've seen that we're doing those things to self-sabotage. And I think everyone listening to this was going, damn it, I feel like they're looking into my life right now. but what can we do? And you've kind of touched on the fact that you can either sell up or you can get someone in to, you know, to fill that role within your organization. But talk us through that process. Talk us through some of the things that we can do even before that to make sure that we're not hitting that ceiling. Like, how can we put things in place to make sure that we're countering that Peter Pan syndrome before it becomes a problem? So open it to you, Anne. Yeah,
it's as in the story of Peter Pan, it's, you know, Wendy became, you know, the Debbie Downer of the group. And, you know, one of the things that entrepreneurs are notorious for is, to Heather's point, is that they blame others and get rid of others. And their first step is to think about it more holistically from that perspective of, I'm contributing. This is mine. I've created it. I'm contributing to it. If I wasn't doing X, would Y not continue to happen? And so if I actually listen to my people and what they need, would I still have the issues with retention that I'm currently having? If I took the time to onboard people and explain things in detail about what was expected, would I get the work product that I need to be getting from my and so it's more, instead of eyes out, it's eyes in on how am I contributing. That is the very first step, because it all starts with them. And you know, we can all grow and develop, and there's fun in development. But what entrepreneurs, you know, in moving out of that image of, you know, I'm a great guy or gal and I'm the fun boss or, you know, however they're characterizing themselves, it's painful to have to move out of that place and from a brain perspective and do something different. And that's what gets resisted. They don't feel competent because they haven't developed up those leadership skills or the self-awareness. Yeah. And once you're aware, you can't become unaware. Once you see, oh my God, I created all of this. And I go around creating chaos everywhere. And that's on me, because this is mine.
Yeah.
And they can't turn back from there.
I like this. Yeah, because I was going to say to you, like when you're talking about, you know, taking the time to, like, first of all, identifying this and then taking the time to actually onboard people. Like for me, I'm very aware of my own limitations, you know, and I'm usually the first to blame myself anyway. So when I look at, you know, non-performing team member, for example, I immediately think, well, I've obviously screwed up the onboarding, or I've screwed up the leadership around this, screwed up everything. But it still doesn't make it any easier, because the thought of onboarding someone does my head in. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like the whole concept of sitting down and going through tasks and I just want them to hit the ground running and I can just offload stuff to them and it's done, you know. But obviously that's not how people work, and they need support and things. So Heather, any other things that we can do? Because one of the things I'm thinking is, obviously a lot of people listening to this are probably nodding right now, that this Peter Pan syndrome is something that they deal with. And we're talking about, you know, in the business, identifying that level where we need to shift and we need to change and what we can do around that. But is there anything we can do to get to the actual root cause of the Peter Pan syndrome? Anything we can do to kind of counter that in our own lives?
Yeah, I think one of the things for me, I know, as I went through, you know, sort of the different stages as we grew our business, was, you know, really having this understanding of how my brain is organized and what that means for me in terms of my leadership style. And Anne and I have different styles. So as business partners, they complement each other, but they're different. But in my style, you know, it was really coming and building that awareness of, I don't give direction clearly, and I don't define things. And so the place that I had to really start was, what are the rules I want people to follow? What are the, you know, I have rules now about how my assistant, you know, books things into my calendar for me so I can manage my calendar. We have, you know, clear expectations about how they come to us to close the gap if we haven't given enough information. So it's starting to think, and Anne alluded to this with her comments, was that the absence, and we see this a lot with entrepreneurs, is like they're, the way they sometimes talk about what they want or what they need is abstract and nobody can follow. And I, you know, one of the things that I started to realize was that because I move at the pace that my brain moves at, I wasn't getting to that place where people really could follow. And then there was a disconnect between what I needed from my people and what I was getting. And so learning a process, like, and that's where we go in to close it, is what's the system? I'm not going to magically change my behavior. I'm really good at putting systems in for other people to follow. That's what I do in a lot of our work with clients, right? So it's, what's the system? And we teach all of our clients to do this, is to find that system that you use for tracking what they're doing, that you use for your meeting structures, for how you organize your day, is we have to rely on these sorts of systems that define and put structure around us for our people and then help to contain us. Because, you know, I say it to all of my clients all the time. If you don't give me deadlines and milestones, I am not going to deliver your project on time. I guarantee it. Not the way my brain works. It's like, I need the pressure prompting. And so by knowing that about myself, and again, this comes from understanding, like, we have our own personality system, the Striving Styles that we use, that's brain-based, but Myers-Briggs, any one of those, really understanding what it means for you. So what do you have to put around you? For me, it's systems. For me, it's also having somebody who is really, really solid on that follow through execution. And Anne and I have always had that. That's always been our primary hire. It's always been the kind of the focal in our business, making sure we have someone who's very solid with that. And so I think there's something in it where sometimes as entrepreneurs, we don't like to acknowledge that we actually need that kind of help. And so we end up going and hiring the wrong kind of people around us, or refusing. Like, I can't tell you the number of entrepreneurs that will not hire an admin assistant. And so they keep doing all of these things that are just not within their skill set. Again, it's that resistance, right? And that's part of the Peter Pan syndrome. So it's really starting to look at, if I'm at the hub, like if I'm at the center of the wheel that this is my business, what do I need? What do I need to be successful? Because if I focus in on that, then that supports my team and ultimately my business to be successful. So there's a few things in there that sort of really get you started on thinking through some of those solutions that you can put into action right away.
Yeah, I love the way you approach that as well, because immediately when you're saying, hey, we need to put in place systems, we need to put in place procedures, I'm like, my brain just went, dude, I'm checking out right now. But actually bringing somebody in to do that for you, bringing somebody in that can assist you with that, that is very powerful. I love it. So I'll throw this one over to you, Anne. Like, we've talked about, you know, that letting go essentially and being able to hand over to somebody else to do this. How do we counter what we know we're going to face at that point? Because everyone listening to this, there's a hesitation in them, and they may not be able to identify it, but it's that fear of, if I hand this over to somebody, I'm failing. If I can't do this myself, then I'm a terrible entrepreneur. I need somebody else who's better than I am at all these things. How do you deal with that self-doubt, that kind of imposter syndrome that starts to scream at you when you're trying to hand things off to other people?
Well, and it's a great question. And Heather alluded to this around how entrepreneurs, the image of them is never needing help and not wanting to ask for help. And recognizing that most of this is image driven. It's not who they are. And what we can do, and all of us are capable of doing this, is investing so much in our image of ourselves that we forget to develop up our real competencies. Yeah. And so the brain has to tolerate delaying gratification. And for entrepreneurs, particularly if they struggle with ADHD or have a rational brain style, You see, delaying gratification or developing up the executive function, we don't want to go there. We want to be able to, oh, this gives me pleasure. I want to follow that. And that's the essence of it. And recognizing that we're actually changing the architecture of our brain through this process. And I don't recommend that entrepreneurs do this alone. Because if they do, they don't recognize what they're in for. It's like, oh, I'll just learn all about this and then I'll go and I'll ace it and I'll be able to lead and I'll be a great leader, as opposed to, you know, buddy or honey, you're changing your brain here. It ain't going to happen like that.
Yeah. I love that. I love that it's kind of like the fake it till you make it, but we forget the make it part. We just keep faking it. So we know at some point we actually have to change. Yeah. Awesome.
Well, and the imposter is actually the image that we're presenting.
Yeah.
But we convince ourselves that it's we ourselves that aren't good enough, when it's really we can't get to where we want to go as long as we're just presenting an image of being a great entrepreneur.
Yeah.
We just can't.
No, I agree with that. I love that you said too, don't do it alone. I think that's incredibly important. I've dealt with imposter syndrome. Everyone listening to this probably has the same as well. We've all dealt with imposter syndrome through our careers and through our businesses and things. But actually, it's talking about it with other people that understand, that actually can help you with this. That is the big breakthrough. You can't fight this on your own. Plus, it also helps, I did discover, to actually talk to some of your heroes in the industry. And when you realize that they all have imposter syndrome, you're like, wait a minute, it's the great equalizer, it's the great leveler. You're like, oh, wow, we're all in the same boat. So, and I had it explained to me one day where they were comparing me to somebody else, right? And I was saying, oh, I'll never be as good as them. And they were like, why do you say that? And I said, and they said, do you realize the only difference between you and that person, the only difference between the two of you, is that they do it and you don't? That is it. They have actually just gone, you know what? I'm feeling all this fear. I'm feeling all this imposter syndrome. I'm feeling all this doubt, but I'm just going to keep pressing in anyway. I'm just going to keep pushing forward, surrounding myself with people that can help me. And that's the only difference between you and them. So it's kind of a crazy concept when we realize that. Oh, this is so powerful. Oh, man. This is the problem talking to the two of you as well. Time is flying by.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Heather, I'm going to open it up to you. Before we kind of get to the part of the show where I have to ask for your practical tips, Heather, what's some last advice you've got to anyone who's sitting there feeling a little bit kind of self-conscious at the moment about the fact that they clearly know that they have Peter Pan syndrome? And I'm going to put my hand up there. I've had this many, many times throughout my career. Yeah, we all have. But for anyone that's sitting there now going, hey, I identified this and now it's scary because now I know I need to enter into something where I'm going to bring change about and my brain doesn't like that kind of change. What's your last bit of advice to anyone that's going through that?
Well, I think what it is that, you know, understanding resistance and our own resistance, right? And that, again, as Anne said earlier, it's like part of why we go out and talk about this stuff is we want to normalize it. Because like you were saying, is like, you know, growing up with big brains, as most entrepreneurs have, which now gets labeled often as, you know, ADHD, and having raising two kids with big brains who also have ADHD. It's like you start to learn to navigate this place of saying, you know, I really get myself and I get myself and I accept myself. And so what do I need to do relative to that? And so I know that the second I go and put in or talk about systems and processes, we get the kind of reaction you'd evince, the resistance comes up. And then to just say, okay, there's that resistance. Now, what do I want to do? Like, we're solvers, right? At the end of the day, as an entrepreneur, you're a solver. So you can either, you know, allow your naturally triggered resistance to sort of stop you, or you can say, how do I want to solve for this? And this is where, you know, it goes back to, you know, what Anne was saying about, you know, doing it with, you know, don't try and do it on your own, because you will get caught in your resistance and you'll just abandon it. And do it fast, right? I think that's the other thing, is recognizing that it doesn't have to be perfect. It's like, pick something and start with it and then evolve it as you go. Because I think that's also part of our resistance as entrepreneurs. Yeah. No, it's not quite that. And then we don't end up doing anything at all with it, right?
Yeah.
And I think the last thing I want to say with this is that, for me, I know personally that growing up struggling with, like, I was always misplacing things. I was always, you know, sort of forgetting dates, and I was, you know, flipping things and, you know, in my head and all of those things, watching my kids do it. And really this hitting that understanding of where am I really, what's my potential, what are my unique abilities, and how am I organizing my life around those? Because when I get to play in my unique abilities, that's when I'm having the most fun. So it's not about all of this other stuff that was more sort of protecting something in me. the second I could say, okay, well, I'm not having fun because I'm not spending enough time doing the kinds of things that really give me joy and make me feel satisfied as a human being, that makes it easier too to start to go, yeah, I don't want that. I don't want to do that. I don't want that to be what I do. I don't want to control it. I don't, you know, and then you start pushing to solve for that, because again, it really is about you, and it's less about your resistance, you know, to sort of the idea of something, and more about what it is you actually want and need for yourself. Right.
I love that. I love the my unique abilities aspect of this as well. Like, honestly, even though I've dealt with ADHD my entire life, it's only been really in the last year or so that I've really been diving deep onto that to understand myself. And when you understand your unique abilities, you understand how you're wired and the difference you have from a, you know, neurotypical person, it is so empowering. And for me, I mean, I have one of those days where, you know, we have low dopamine days where your motivation levels are tanked completely and you just can't get off the couch. And with that, normally would come try harder, push harder, try and go, and rather than actually give myself the grace and go, hey, I understand what's happening to my brain right now. I know that this is low dopamine. Get off my phone, definitely. Get away from devices. Get away from anything like that and try and get outside and do something that's not related to work. So actually understanding that, you give yourself the grace to deal with it. And then honestly, it's just so much easier. I love it. Oh, Anne, I'll throw it to you, Anne. Any last advice, anything you want to add to what Heather had there?
Well, one of the things about entrepreneurs is we like to distinguish ourselves by not walking down the road most traveled.
Yeah, yeah.
and doing it the way other people have done it. But one of the challenges of being both image driven and seeing ourselves in that way is that it's really hard just to be normal.
Yeah.
or to even think, hey, I'm just an average Joe, because we don't want to be an average Joe, which means I never need any help. Yeah. And I can do this myself. And I'm superhuman, which, of course, just feeds the imposter syndrome like crazy.
Yeah.
And so just learning to embrace some of our own humanity, and it's okay to make mistakes. And as you say, have a low dopamine day, lie on the couch, kick back, you know, binge watch TV without feeling embarrassed. That hey,
I may feel slightly embarrassed about what I watch on there, but yeah.
but just thinking that we always have to position ourselves above everybody else to feel okay. And when we normalize ourselves, it's uncomfortable for ourselves. And that's part of our process of being unique and having our unique abilities, while at the same time feeling entitled to get our needs met by other people.
Yeah, this is incredible. I feel like this has been a therapy session, seriously. This is the advantage. I host a podcast, but I get free therapy now. This has been incredibly powerful, Anne and Heather, but we are at the point of the show now where I need to ask you the same question I ask everyone. So now what we do here, we get three practical tips, but I'm going to ask Heather, I'm going to ask you for one to start with. What's your practical tip you advise every entrepreneur to do right now?
So it's pick one thing, right? Not 10, 20, just pick one thing that where, you know, you see that opportunity to do something differently that's going to support you differently. And whether that one thing is to become more aware about your role in some of these things, or whether that one thing is to say, I'm going to set some rules for my staff, one thing, and just stick with that until you start to see the progress that you want with it, and start and stop it, because that's what we do. We start and stop it, but just stick with one thing, because that's where we start to get momentum, and then you can celebrate the success of that one thing.
Oh, I like that, especially celebrating the success. All right, Anne, what is your practical tip you advise every entrepreneur do right now?
Let me see if I can find a way of saying this, that entrepreneurs have a way of being permissive and saying yes when they need to be saying no. And and so learning to say, let me think about it before immediately saying yes. Nice. Gives them a chance to take a step back and out of their image, because of course, if we say yes, we're being the good guy. And just saying, let me think about it, gives them the opportunity to either get somebody else to tell that person no, or to send them an email to say no, or to actually muster up the courage that it takes them to just say, that doesn't work for me or the business, or it doesn't work, and no, you can't do that.
Oh, I love that. I used to use the what I call the yes no scenario in corporate, because someone would come to me, like head of sales would come and go, "We want to do this," and you're like, internally you're thinking, "That's the stupidest idea I've ever thought of. There's no way that's going to work." So what you do is you say yes first, but in the sense of you go, "Hey, what an interesting idea. I'll get my team to look into that straight away." And then they're like, "Oh, okay." So suddenly you're still the good guy, but you haven't actually technically said yes. And then you come back to them, you go, "Right, we've looked into this. It is an interesting idea. Here's the challenge we have with this. If we do this, it's going to take away from this and this." And you see them immediately go, "Oh, no, don't take away from those." So you get them
Yes.
to come up with the no themselves. You're still the hero and the good guy, but at the same time, you get the win. All right.
And if you don't have a team, you do it yourself.
Exactly. All right. Well, now we've got one more practical tip from the two of you. So I'm going to open up to the floor. Who's got one more practical tip for everyone?
The other practical tip is the slowing things down. Again, our brains are wired to move so quickly, and our heads are in the future while our bodies are in the present moment. And the practice of mindfulness is incredibly helpful to help with settling us in and allowing us to be in our bodies and, have our head and our body in the same time zone, as it were, because it stops us from being as reactive and impulsive. Those are the hallmarks of the Peter Pan syndrome, is that we just can't stop reacting to our own good ideas even, and go jumping from one thing to another. So mindfulness is a godsend to people who are
Absolutely.
anyone who's neurodivergent.
I think I need to get a soundboard here with the preach it button, because that's so true. Oh, look, this has been absolutely fantastic, which I knew anyway. The moment I get Anne and Heather on a show, first of all, I just get to catch up with them, which is always a lot of fun. But also, I knew this was going to add so much value to all of you. And I think you can all testify to that right now. And now I'm going to leave links to everywhere you can connect with Anne and Heather in the show notes for this episode. So you know what to do. Go to chasingtheinsights.com. Look for Anne and Heather's smiling face. You're going to see a bunch of hyperlinks there. You'll see links to where you can connect with them on social media. You'll see links to their website, but you're also going to see links to their books. And they have So You Think You Can Lead, Who Are You Meant to Be, and Power Past the Imposter Syndrome. And I can tell you now, highly recommend you get a copy of all of those books. In fact, you know what? I'm going to go a step further. Don't just buy a copy of those books. What I want you to do is buy a copy and then go and leave a review. Go on Amazon, leave a review, let them know what you got out of this, because that helps other people to know that this book is for them as well. And it's something we always forget to do as authors. So there you go. Well, Anne and Heather, it has been an absolute privilege having you both on the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for my therapy session. And yeah.
You're welcome.
You're
Thank
welcome. Yeah, you're welcome.
Awesome. So there you go, everyone. Like I said, go to the show notes for this episode, click on all those links. You're not going to regret it. Seriously, Anne and Heather aren't just two of the smartest people in the industry. They're also incredibly nice people. So get more Anne and more Heather in your life. Simple as that. Plus, if you haven't already, reach out and give that subscribe or follow button a push. That way you're notified every time there's a new episode. Now, my friends, pause for a moment, right? We talk about being mindful. I want you to be very present with me right now, because I know you're all dying to go and connect with Anne and Heather everywhere, as you should. And you're all dying to go and get a copy of those books and leave a review, as you should. But first of all, I want you to pause and I want you to be present. Because we talked about a lot of really interesting stuff in here, but we also talked about a lot of tricky stuff with our brain. And I want you to hear something that I know for a fact you need to hear right now. So the interesting thing as entrepreneurs and as big brain people with big brain syndrome is that, as Anne Heather said, we're really like other people. Like, we're not that unique in the sense that all of us battle the same kind of challenges, the same kind of problems and things like that. But also, we are completely unique. And I want you to know that there is nobody else out there like you, with the same personality, the same experiences, the same teachings, the same learnings, the same mistakes that you've made, the same everything that makes you completely, utterly unique and you. And the other thing I want you to know is, because you're unique, because you're that, you're also incredibly extraordinary. And I know you don't feel that way. I know most of you are rolling your eyes right now, going, "Oh, but Vince, I don't feel extraordinary. I just feel like I'm like everybody else, or I don't feel like I'm anything special." I'm telling you now, you are. And you are for so many different reasons. But one of those I'm going to give you right now will prove to you just how incredible you are. Think about this. If you don't feel extraordinary, think about what you're doing as an entrepreneur. You are taking something that does not exist. Right? This is a thought, a seed, a concept, an idea. You're taking this abstract thing that doesn't exist and you're literally calling it into existence. You're birthing it into this world. That, my friend, is freaking amazing. And that makes you extraordinary. So on behalf of Anne, Heather, and myself, we want to wish you all of the health, all of the wealth, all of the happiness, the success, and the love that you so rightfully, and I do mean rightfully, deserve. And we spoke about a lot of things in here about, you know, mindfulness and being kind to yourself, essentially, and understanding who you are. So I want you to go into the rest of this day, this week, whatever time or day you're listening to this, I want you to go into the rest of that day or week with your chest out, with your shoulders back, with your chin up. I want you to press forward knowing that you're an awesome human being and knowing that the world needs what you're doing, but more than that, needs more of you in it. Anyway, this is Chasing the Insights, my friend. I am Vince Swarnock, and I will see you in the next episode.